This is Mac OS Ken.
Apple shares hit new highs, App Store arguments in Australia and China, and two new rounds of OS betas. It is Tuesday, the 21st of October, 2025. I'm Ken Ray, and this is news from Mac OS Ken, brought to you by yours truly and supported by people like you, patrons through Patreon. Find out more and add your support at patreon.com/macOSCan. Apple shares hit their highest level so far on Monday. We'll start with contributing factors and finish with where they finished. Okay, that actually leaves me a little uncertain where to start. I mean, Apple shares saw an upgrade on Monday, though that was driven by strength for iPhone 17. So I guess let's start there. Counterpoint Research issued a note on Monday saying what everybody's been saying for the past week or two, that this year's iPhone 17 demand has been crushing last year's demand for iPhone 16. I'll tell you now, the note's kind of strange. It's like it was written a few weeks ago and again last week, and somebody forgot to hit publish both times. While the publish date was yesterday, the 20th of October, it focuses on the first 10 days of iPhone availability, which were a few days ago. It also talks about iPhone Air orders in China starting soon. Of course, those actually started last Friday. All that said, the note is informative. According to Counterpoint, the iPhone 17 series have outsold the iPhone 16 series by 14% in its first 10 days of availability in China and the U.S. The base model iPhone 17 has been a major driver, with sellout up nearly one-third. Chinese consumers have warmed up to the base model, nearly doubling unit sales for the iPhone 17 compared to the iPhone 16. Focusing on the Middle Kingdom, one Counterpoint analyst says the base model iPhone 17 is very compelling to consumers, offering great value for money. A better chip, improved display, higher base storage, selfie camera upgrade, all for the same price as last year's iPhone 16. Buying this device is a no-brainer, the analyst continues, especially when you throw channel discounts and coupons into the mix. Simply put, it provides extremely good value for money, and Chinese consumers are rewarding Apple for that. When the analyst says coupons, I assume he's referring to the subsidies from the Chinese government for smartphones priced around $800 and lower. While at least one analyst faults Apple for not raising the price on the entry-level device, at least one other analyst argues those subsidies may have played a part in Apple keeping iPhone 17's entry point at $799. Moving to other points from Counterpoint. In the U.S., says the firm, the iPhone 17 Pro Max is seeing the strongest demand through the first two weekends of availability as COVID-19-era purchasers upgrade on the refresh. And one more point, the iPhone Air has been more popular than the iPhone 16 Plus, and we expect availability in China to start toward the end of October. Again, it's like somebody forgot to hit publish. Counterpoint's note seems iffy on how iPhone Air will be received in China. Of course, living in that note's future, we know the device sold out in minutes. Not that that's the big driver. Waking to what the heck's going on with iPhone 17 Monday was Loop Capital analyst Ananda Barua. Barron's had him issuing a note to start the week, wherein he upped his rating on Apple shares and increased his price target by $89. As I say, he may have been napping. He may also still be a bit groggy. According to Barron's, Barua estimates Apple could ship 238 million iPhones this year, just short of 2021's 240 million record, and followed by shipping 250 million units in 2026 and 260 million in 2027. I'm not saying he's wrong. I don't know. I will say if one of the things driving this year's stellar sales is people replacing four-year-old iPhones, they're probably not rushing back out again next year. And of course, this year's three-year-old iPhones will be 4 years old next year. Plus, the Air might catch on a bit. Plus, there is talk of a foldable iPhone next year. Not sure you've heard. Again, I'm not saying he's wrong. There are plenty of reasons he may not be. But having just woken from a hold rating on Apple shares and a price target of $226, this note seems really exuberant. He did wake with a head of steam, though. Barua used Monday's note to raise his rating on Apple shares from the aforementioned hold to a buy. He's also got a new price target on ticker symbol AAPL of $315. Not to discount Apple's strength, but a rise for its shares doesn't happen in a bubble. Probably shouldn't say bubble when talking a run-up in stock price, but oops. A rise in Apple stock price doesn't happen completely independently, might be a better way to say it. A piece from Yahoo Finance listed a number of factors driving markets higher on Monday. Those included a full week of high-profile earnings ahead, a lull on the trade war front, and the delayed release of key inflation data. I'm sorry, did they just say that Wall Street is operating on the what we don't know won't hurt us principle? Clap for Tinkerbell, everybody. Clap for Tink. Apple being up contributes to the markets being up, which contributes to Apple being up, which contributes to the markets, and away we go. Apple Insider says Apple's previous closing high was $259.02, with a previous intraday trading height of $260.10. Both of those were apparently set on the 24th of December, 2024, and you can erase that date and replace it with the 20th of October, 2025. Shares got as high as $264.38 on Monday before closing at $262.24. Apple and Epic are duking it out down under. 9to5 Mac ran a piece last week that had, or has, the same side-loading, no-commission battle that's been fought in a number of countries being fought in Australia. Judges there are apparently leaning towards siding with side-loading, allowing consumers to install apps from sources besides the App Store, and allowing developers to offer apps outside the App Store. While Apple may not like that, the Cupertino company really doesn't like it without getting paid. And yet, 9to5 Mac says Epic Games is now asking the judge to require Apple to permit sideloading without any commission payable to it. Not no, but no, says Apple. 9to5 Mac quotes Apple's argument. Epic is now asking to free ride on Apple's platform and dismantle every safeguard we've put in place to protect users and developers, a request that goes well beyond the court's ruling. We will continue to seek an outcome that respects our intellectual property and protects the safe, secure experience consumers and developers expect from our platform. No word in the piece on when a decision will be reached. Apple's got App Store problems everywhere, it seems. Take China, for example. Mac Rumors ran a piece Monday that had a law firm in the Middle Kingdom filing an antitrust complaint against the Cupertino company. Kind of an end run, this one. The piece says the antitrust complaint accuses Apple of abusing its control over iOS app distribution and payments. The firm in question tried before and failed in civil court. Now the piece says they're suing through state regulators instead. Brought before the State Administration for Market Regulation and representing 55 users of iPhone and iPad, Mac Rumors says the filing alleges that Apple maintains a monopoly over iOS app distribution in China via the App Store, restricts the use of third-party payment systems in apps, and charges commissions of up to 30% on digital transactions. Hey, is alleges the word we should be using there? Because that's all stuff Apple does. Unless somebody wants to quibble over the word monopoly. The piece has the lawyer indicating that the new administrative complaint is intended to prompt regulatory enforcement rather than a civil judgment. Plaintiffs expect the new case to go more quickly than the old one, which was dismissed after a 2-year legal fight. That said, there is no word in the piece on next steps for this one. And finally today, I'm back to thinking the Blank OS 26.1 cavalcade of updates will arrive for all of us this week. Apple Insider ran a piece early on Monday that had developers getting access to their fourth betas of iOS, iPadOS, macOS, watchOS, tvOS, and visionOS 26.1. That was followed fairly quickly by a piece from Mac Rumors that had Apple's public testing program getting their fourth betas of all of those, visionOS not included. And there's new hardware coming out this week, and an app from Apple that's waiting for iPadOS 26.1. I'm back to thinking it's going to happen this week. One feature in Monday's betas got a lot of attention. A piece from 9to5 Mac says the fourth betas of iOS, iPadOS, and macOS 26.1 have an option to turn the liquid glass elements of each operating system more opaque. Those are your two choices, though. Well, the control freak, and did I say me? I didn't say me. While the more persnickety among us might want a slider moving back and forth to just the right level of opacity, that's apparently not what we're getting. The piece quotes Apple's instructions as reading, "Choose your preferred look for liquid glass. Clear is more transparent, revealing the content beneath. Tinted increases opacity and adds more contrast. And you are not allowed to address nor mess with Mr. In-Between." According to 9to5 Mac, it is a binary option, so there is no toggle or slider of any sort. Personally, I have come to like liquid glass. That said, I've got no vision issues that can't be fixed with reading glasses. Being among the more persnickety among us, I do wish we were getting a slider. Still, it does seem good that Apple is providing an option for people who can't use or can't stand its new design language. macOS Ken, brought to you by me and supported by people like you, patrons through Patreon. Find out more in that your support at patreon.com/macOSKen. Advertising handled by Backbeat Media, online at backbeatmedia.com. You can find me on Mastodon, macOSKen at mastodon.social. You can also send me an email, info@macOSKen.com. Until next time, that is news from macOS Ken. I'm Ken Ray.
Leonard likes this post.